Blog Talk Radio.
The views and opinions of this show do not reflect the views and opinions of Wiki Curiosity Media or its affiliates. Wiki Curiosity Media, changing the world you listen to.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Note by Note Radio Show. It is I, your host, the guy in glasses. Somewhere out in the universe is my co-host, Jesse. And surely he will be on here in a minute. And we can go on. But we have an incredible show for you tonight. But first, let me do my little spiel. Please, if you haven't already, go to your Facebook search page, type in Note by Note Radio Show, hit that like button, hit that share button, let people know what we're trying to do. Also, go to Wiki Curiosity Media, like that Facebook page, and everything like that. And anything else, boss man, that we need to plug or tag?
Twitch, Wiki Curiosity Media.
Everybody got that? Twitch, Wiki Curiosity Media.
YouTube, Wiki Curiosity Media.
Yeah. Wiki Curiosity Media on YouTube.
All of our archived shows are on iTunes at Wiki Curiosity Media and on blogtalkradio.com/Wiki Curiosity Media.
All right. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Awesome. So, yeah, that's it. Awesome. Thank you, boss man.
Not a problem.
That's
what I'm here for.
So it's always a pleasure to have you on the show, man. Let me tell you.
That's what I'm here for. What I do.
You are the man. Let's see. I got to track down my co-host so we can get on with the show here. So I'm going to play a little songy song, because that's what this show is all about anyways. And that'll give me a few minutes to track him down and see what's going on here. So just hold on, let's see. You know, there's so many great artists in the studio here that it's hard to choose who we're gonna play. But we're gonna play one real quick, and that way I can track down Jesse, and we can proceed. All right. Well, since we do a lot of hip hop on this show, we're gonna go a little different. I'm gonna play some Chad Bearden. This is a song called "Sober." You can go check Chad out on social medias by Chad Bearden on any of them. So we're just gonna play this real quick. Let me get a track down my co-host, and then we will proceed.
One too many. I really must have turned up. Must have been going hard on something in a paper cup. That's the only way I can explain where I'm at right now. I must have really been throwing them down, 'cause I never would have done it sober. Never would have said it's over. I never would have spoke the words that broke your heart. Could have lied through and tore our world apart. Tomorrow I know I'll wake up crumbled, 'cause I never would have done it so. I could blame it on the jack, pin it on the Cuervo. Surely I was sipping on some hell I don't know. Wish I could find some bad excuse to explain what I did to you. 'Cause I never would have done it sober. I never would have said it's over. I never would have spoke the words that broke your heart. Could have lied through and tore our world apart. Tomorrow I know I'll wake up crumbled, but I never would have done it sober. No, I never would have done it sober. I know it will all come rolling back, but right now I can't recall a damn thing. 'Cause I never would have done it so. Never would have said it so. 'Cause I never would have done it sober. Never would have said it sober. I never would have spoke the words that broke your heart. Could I do it to our world apart? Tomorrow I know I'll wake up crumbled, 'cause I never would have done it so. No, I never would have done it so. I must have had one too many. Really must have turned it up.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to No-Fi Network Radio. It is I, your host, the guy in glasses. I believe I have my co-host on the line with me now. Hey, what's going on, Jesse Lives?
What's up, bro? Yeah, man, the system ain't playing nice with me today. She was like, you are not welcome today.
Yeah, I was wondering
like,
why you...
Your pass has been revoked.
Yeah, I was wondering what was going on, and then all of a sudden I seen your number pop up. I'm like, this shit, he's got a call in today. I wonder what's going on. So.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out how to throw myself in the host room, but it's like, oh yeah, the host is already logged in. I'm like, yeah, I know, but I need my co-host to log in. Where's that at?
Okay,
I see how it is.
I should have sent to you.
I didn't want to play with it, but we figured it out. We found a reach around. I work around. That's funny, but yeah, but I was trying to fuck me, so I had to reach around. You know what I mean? Like,
you know, it happens that way sometimes, you know?
Yeah. It's okay. You, as they say, you got to adapt and overcome.
That's right. You got to adapt and overcome.
So how's your week been going? I know last week you were going through some ups and downs, but how's this week been?
It's okay. I had to go down to Alabama and I had to go to my uncle's funeral, and it was the most ridiculous redneck freaking funeral I've ever been to in my entire life. And I've never been at a funeral where they pass around a hat and they're taking donations for the funeral. from the family.
That's different.
Yeah, that's a little redneck. That's only my fucking family. Yeah, yeah. My girlfriend was in there. She was like, "What the fuck?" And I pulled her, because I had my arm around her and stuff like that. And I kind of pulled her a little close and I whispered in her ear. I was like, "I can point out 5 people in this family right now that can pay for this funeral and then not be a little blip on their radar." And it was
wow.
It was the rich side of the family that was asking for donations. Like, how the fuck are y'all gonna ask for donations? Like, Jesus! I'm in my head. I'm like, damn, Shane, you pulled up in a brand new Cadillac. Go sell that motherfucker and pay for this fucking. Quit asking the blue collar people for money. You guys got all the money, like in the family. Y'all are the rich ones. Why are y'all asking us for money? Like, I didn't understand that. And then there were some people there, you know,
I got an answer for that. But go ahead.
Oh, I was just, you know, I haven't seen a lot of these people in like 20 freaking years. So, you know, I don't know. And I have an aunt. She's my favorite aunt. And she showed up. So that was good because they didn't have pallbearers. So somebody had to carry, you know, the casket from the hearse to the gravesite. And so do that. So I had to, but I left her with my girlfriend with my favorite aunt. So, I mean, it's all good. You know, she took care of things or whatever. And it was so funny because, Danielle was her excuse to not leave her side. You know what I'm saying? Like she was using Danielle as an excuse because she didn't want to walk off and talk to everybody with Danielle right there. But my aunt was like, I don't want to talk to half these people anyways. So, I'll just stick right here.
I'm mad at you.
So, but, you know.
But really, bro, that's how the streets stay rich, though. Go finish what you're saying. Let me shut up. Say what you're saying.
No, it's just, it was just retarded, man. Like, it was the weirdest funeral I've ever been to. Like, and unfortunately, I've been to a handful of funerals in my life, but that was effing weird. So, yeah, I don't know.
Sounds like a hood funeral to me.
It is what it is. But, you know, it's all right. We're here. You know, it's going on. And I'm not, do we have a number for the artist, what he's going to call tonight? Because I have somebody on the line. I'm not sure.
To be honest.
Is it our, okay.
That's definitely a Boise, Idaho area code. Don't tell me how I know that, because I'm not telling that story. But that's an Idaho area code.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, without further ado, I guess you know we'll bring the artist on here. Hey, is this Zero?
Sorry, yeah, this is him.
Hey, what's up? What up?
Hey, what's up? What's going on, guys?
Oh, not much, man. Sorry about the pause and bring you on the show here. Jesse wasn't here when I first started the show, and then your number popped up as soon as I logged in. I'm like, damn, who the hell? Who's that? You know, so. My apologies.
Oh, good, man. No worries. I had called in, like, I think, like, 3, or, like, yeah, my time, 3, 350-something, and then, like, it, you know, connect me on. I heard you talking. I put it on mute for a little bit because I was still working. And then you said, you're like, you know, we're going to go find Jesse real quick. We'll be right back. I was like, cool. Like, I got a couple more minutes to finish my job. So everything worked out good.
Bro, awesome, did you just literally blame the black guy just now? Did you just do that?
No. You helped me, bro. Helped me.
No. Not you, Zero. I'm talking to Jay Cookie. I'm talking to my boy Jay Cookie. You know you just blame the black guy.
Why are you going to bring race into this? Why are you going to bring race into this? Oh, I blame the black guy. I didn't say that shit at all. Talk about you as a person.
That's what I
heard. Skin color. Well, you need to fucking listen better, I guess. I don't know what to tell you.
So now you know what kind of show you're dealing with. We go back and forth like brothers who didn't get along, but we love each other. Like
I did it, man.
But ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, let me introduce to you the phenomenal MC Zero. This is a motherfucker that another dude that I met while I was on tour. And I'm gonna tell. I've been waiting to tell this story because it's a crazy story. So while I was on the road, and it's about the time. It's about the day I met you. While I was on the road, there was. I think we were like, the Boise show was about 7-8 shows into the tour. And yeah. But I kept hearing, when we get to Boise, you got to meet this cat Zero. You and him need to work. You and him promise, like, bro, you basically, you met the fucking, if there was another Super Saiyan MC that you need to be around, it's him. So I'm like, okay, so I'm hearing Zero. Just wait till we get to Boise. I promise you, I understand how you feel about all these other MCs, but I promise you, Zero, you and him are going to click, and you guys might change the game. And so I'm like, okay, I'm looking for it. I got to meet Zero. Zero. I can't wait to meet Zero. So I'm looking forward to the Boise show. So the whole time we're setting up, right? And I'm like, ain't nobody introduced me to Zero. So I'm the whole show, I'm trying to figure out who the hell Zero is, right? And so there was this guy that was actually helping us. And he was a super hospitable, super nice cat. So I'm thinking he's like the manager of the club or some shit, right? Yeah. So we get about right before it's time for me to go on. And I'm mad as shit. I'm walking around the club just frustrated, like, and everybody's like, why are you mad, Jeff? And I'm like, because who the fuck is Zero? Who the fuck is Zero? Y'all been telling me I need to meet Zero. And then everybody looks at me like, bro, you're standing right next to him. And I'm like, oh, didn't nobody introduce me to him. Like, so I was talking to him the whole night, not knowing that this is the Zero I'm supposed to be meeting. Like, this has been him the whole time. It's him.
For future reference to everybody too, I have trouble introducing myself as Zero. Whenever you ask me like, what's my name or like, who are you? I'm always going to say Cornell. I fuck up. And so like that was just a funny, funny situation. Cause I didn't even think about that to like, let you know I was Zero. You know what I mean?
Right. But it wasn't on you to introduce me. It was on somebody to introduce us. And nobody ever said, Jesse Liz, this is Zero. Zero, this
right,
is Jesse
right.
Liz. I'm like, I'm mad. I'm like super mad. If you notice, at the first half of that show, I was walking around just disgruntled with hell. Like, yo, what's up? You hear me, Zero. Where the fuck is Zero? Everybody's all, who the fuck? Okay, you're telling me I finally found an MC that I could fuck with and nobody's introducing me to him. What the fuck is going
on? Right.
Like, this is some bullshit. I don't even want to perform in that. I just want to meet Zero. Somebody call Zero and tell him I'm here. Like, you know what I mean? Because you keep telling me there's finally an MC that I need to meet in the game, and won't nobody point him out to me. What the hell's going on?
Right.
That's my Zero story. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is another artist that I personally vouch for as a MC that stands above other MCs lyrically. If I was putting together an MC team, this would be one of the guys that I would – he wouldn't get a choice. He would just have to be on my team. It's another one of those kind of MCs, and I'm glad that he's on the show. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Zero.
Hey, much love, and the feeling is definitely mutual, fam.
I appreciate that. You know my motto is I just don't want to suck, so – I appreciate that means a lot to you.
Bro, all love.
So first things first, how did we come up with the name Zero?
So I write stories and such, and I've been doing that since I was a kid. And I have no idea how Zero kind of circulated around me. It was an option when I was choosing names, but when I was younger in track and field, I'll try to make this short as possible because it's kind of a long story, but
make it long. Tell the long story. Let us know.
Okay. So back in the day, you know, I was an underdog like everybody else, you know what I mean? Underestimated just cause my stature, I wasn't buff at the time. I'm still not tall, you know what I mean? But everybody just assumed that I was a nobody, you know what I mean? And I knew how strong I was, I knew how fast I was, but I didn't have anything to prove at the time, you know what I mean? And track and field season came around, and I wanted to be a part of something. I was like, you know, I'm a fast runner, let me give it a shot. So I got wind of tryouts, and I ended up going to tryouts with baseball cleats. And everybody at the field is just laughing. And, like, obviously, you know, we don't have a lot of money. I borrowed those from somebody. I was just like, I need cleats for a tryout. And they're like, well, we got these. Cool, I'll take them. You know what I mean? And so took them, went down. And Brandon Hannah, which is still – he's a really good friend of mine now. But at the time, he was the most, like, he was the stud. He was the popular guy. And, you know, he was just cracking jokes and making fun. And I had it. You know, I was like, fuck that, man. Like, there's no dice, bro. I was like, I'll race you here in these cleats, and I will beat you. And if I do, you need to shut the fuck up and stop making fun of me. Like, dead ass. I know my power, and I know my speed, and I know what I can do, so I know I can beat you. You know what I mean? And he was just, you know, laughing it off. Everybody's laughing, a little groupie. So we race. We hit the 100, and I fucking dart him on the 100 with baseball cleats. Nearly broke my ankle, but still did it. And it was just like, it was one of those movie moments where everybody shut up and they gave me that respect. And me being me, I was just like, oh, you know, I love you guys. Oh, we're friends. Like, I didn't eat it up, and I should have ate that shit up for at least 30 seconds. But it was a good thing, and we wound up becoming friends. And one of my friends at the time was like, hey, I'm going to start calling you Zero. And I was like, why? That's disrespectful. Why would you call me Zero? And he was like, dude, because you're – he was like, because you're better than number one. And I was like, wow. Okay. So, like, that kind of stuck with my character. So whenever I created stories when I was younger, the main character was always Zero. And then when it came around to the time of me making my music, there was a couple names I was going through. Like, it was a horrible time. There was, like, Kronos and, like, some other godly name, and just weird names all around. And I did a tally, and everybody picked Zero, and I'm really, really glad I stuck with Zero because that's the character. And at the time, I didn't put those similarizations together. I didn't put how similar we are. That character I created, even though he was based off me, the traits that I put in this story were not supposed to be me, and yet it followed suit 100%. So it was like it was meant to be. You know what I mean?
What do you think of that, Jay? I like that. I like that somebody said you're better than number one. That's why you zero. That's pretty. That's awesome. Like.
Yeah,
never thought about that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, one of my boys, man, and we still talk today, and we crack jokes about it now, just because, like, we're on our way to try to become whatever artists we're going to become, but as our names go around, it's funny to go back to the people I started with, and, like, you remember when we came up with that name Zero? You know what I mean? Like, you're a Zero now. Like, it's a trip.
Like,
isn't it? Isn't it always a trip when people know you, they know the artist you, and more than they actually know you?
right. And that's usually always the case, too. Because we only see, like, you know, our fans or even, like, some of our friends. We only see them briefly. Like, we don't see them for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours upon a day or days upon days, you know what I mean? So when they see us, sometimes, or even at venues or at shows, like, we're in character. We're in our you know, our artist. And it is funny when people come around and they're just like, hey, Zero Z, what's up? And I'm just like, I don't look, you know what I mean? And it's not like an intentional don't. It's not intentional. It's just that, you know what I mean? Like, my name's Cornell. You know what I'm saying? And so they're like, Z, what's up? And then it finally hits. I'm like, oh, shit, you're saying Zero, that's me. Hey, what's up, man?
Right. And it's almost like you got to turn your wrapper on real quick. Okay, wrapper button.
Right.
What's up, right. How's the crack? How's it happening? Like, it's funny because I tell people all the time, you might not seem like it, but I'm antisocial as hell. But I just like, okay, I got to turn on my social meter.
Okay,
Here we go. We got 2.5 hours of this.
Same, bro. You have no idea, man.
You know, but like the night I met you, I was walking around just angry at everybody. I didn't say nothing to nobody. Just trying to fight Zero. Where's Zero? Because I walked by you how many times that night. Didn't say a word to you, because if you really think about it, I was literally just walking around. Just a random dude walking around like I'm lost. I'm the only one in here lost.
Bro.
It's my show.
That's
like, no,
so
I don't
want
to drink. I don't want to. Just think about it, because we was in that big-ass, I forget what that venue was, but it was hella big inside. I'm walking. I'm in the back. I'm in the bathroom. I'm up there with the dude that owned the club. Like, hey, bro, you know where Zero's at? So. It's a weird thing, because you get both sides of it. You get some cats that they don't want to be nothing but the rapper them, and then you get other cats like, yeah, that's just that's something I do, but that's not exactly me, bro. Like, don't let the character fool you. I'm a whole other guy outside of it. So it's funny the parallel between the two, because it always trips me out that more rappers don't want to be, they wouldn't want to be Cornell, because Cornell's a normal guy.
Yeah, and you know I mean? Love
so
that.
So that's what's always funny to me. Yeah. I ain't mad at that shit. I love being me in real life too. That's why there's only so many things I let you know about who the hell I am in real life. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I like my life. But it's a weird thing. So actually, shit. Tell us about you went to the other side of the world, man. Tell us about that.
Oh my God, Iceland! What a venture, bro. So my buddy Kerry Judd, unfortunately, two years ago, he had lost like a couple family members. Like it was a horrible year. Like I think the beginning of the year, his mom passed away. A few months later, his aunt passed away. A little bit after that, he lost his cat. And I think at one of the funeral or at his aunt's funeral. He got a call that his friend had committed suicide. And then, like, you know, obviously 2020, wow. Like, this is happening the whole time. And then at the end of 2020, I think December 23rd or 24th, his father had passed away. And it's like this that entire year was just a fucking nightmare for this man. And, like, you know, he was on edge. The guy is already an introvert, and, you know, he already has depression and anxiety. Like, he has the normal traits of an artist, you know. But, like, to lose all that shit in one year, like, I wouldn't be surprised, you know what I mean? And that's all I'll leave at that. But the fact is, like, you know, he had people around. He had his family. He had us. He had his friends. And, you know, we made sure we pulled him out of the fire, you know. And I think eventually it got to a point where – it was like, what do I do to live? Like, how do I live, you know? And so, obviously, we could all try to do our best to identify with him and understand him and empathize. But it's like, if you don't go through that, if you haven't been through that, you don't know how to fucking empathize. You don't know how to calm their spirit. You know what I mean? And so, you know, unfortunately for me, in September 2020, my mom had passed away. And it threw me into that dark spiral. And it was like, you know, my idea of creation is my mom. My idea of life is my mom. And so when she left, I had no idea what the fuck, like, what I was doing here. Like, even, like, the idea, you know, I have kids and I love my daughters more than anything in the world. But in that moment that I found out my mom passed, like, I have felt no purpose. You know what I mean? And it's hard to explain. But, He helped me through that too. So we piggybacked and I helped him. He helped me. We pushed each other and it just kept going. And eventually he bought one of those electric longboards and that was his way. You know, he would ride that around and just feel free and it helped him live. You know what I mean? So he ended up getting another one and was like, yo, you want to ride with me every once in a while? So I started going on rides with him. And it was like this insane feeling of, like, danger, adrenaline, and freedom, because you're on this freaking board going 20, 30 miles an hour, no seatbelts, no, like, guard if you hit if you fall or anything, like, you just got to tuck and roll and pray darn it yourself. But it was, like, that necessary thing that we needed at the time. And so he got this crazy idea and was like, I want to ride this board around the ring road in Iceland. And I'm just like, that's, you know, that's dope, cool. You know, I want to do that too, you know what I'm saying? And next thing I know, this guy, he's texting me and he's like, yo, do you want to go with me if we go? Like, if I get this set up? And I was like, dude, I'll go with you anywhere, bro. Like, I'm down. And he started, like, throwing these options out. And he's like, we can either do Iceland, we can do the big island of Hawaii, we can do the UK. And I'm like, I'm open to anywhere, but Iceland sounds pretty dope. You know what I mean? And next thing I know, he fucking shoots me an email with our tickets and, like, you know, our round trip tickets, da da da. And he's like, yo, can you take off 2 weeks from work? I will pay you for those 2 weeks for your services because you're going to be working out here with me. And I'm just like, yeah, I got you, Doug. You know what I mean? Like, normally, what, like, no? Before my, you know what I'm saying? Like, before my mom passed, I would be like, you know, I don't know. I felt like I was still in this square, this box that was stuck somewhere underground in this world. And then once my mom passed and I was able to overcome my grief and I was able to understand and able to live again and create again, I just started taking chances. I say yes first and then I think about it after to things that scare me. You know what I mean? Like I have a phobia of needles and I had to get the vaccine to go out there. I did that shit not even thinking about it, man. And like before then, dead ass, I would not get a shot. I would not. I hate needles with a freaking passion, man. And I just, it's crazy the liberation. Once you overcome what you fear most, because that was what I feared most was losing my mom, and I overcame that somehow by the grace of God. Thank you, God. And I was still sober. You know what I mean? And so we end up taking this to Iceland, man, and the first day we get to Iceland, dude, we're pumped. We're like, yo, we're about to go do this thing. Cornell's the driver. We got Drew as the director. Like, we're going to be good to go on all this, man. And the outlets out in Iceland are different. So we had a generator from the U.S. that couldn't convert to the Iceland one. So the first day we get there, we're just like, yeah, we're like, the fucking, it's over. Like, we got to prepare to go back, you know. And he, the universe works in mysterious ways, man. He did a post on this Facebook group of keyboard writers, and somehow, strangely, the same freaking day, not even a few hours later, a guy hits us up and he's like, "Hey, I got a generator. You guys want to meet me over here?" We're just like, "What? Who are you? Thank you, and where are you?" And we go, and it's just like, these are the adventures we had during Iceland, man. It was like a whole bunch of almost ending trip situations that never happened because we stuck the course. We stood through, like, we're just like, okay, this is shitty, but we're going to keep going and we're going to see what happens. And what ended up happening was a fucking miracle every single time. And it was just like, when you have moments like that, when the ball's rolling, let the ball roll. Don't stop the ball. Don't question the ball. Just keep going with it. You know what I'm saying? And don't take advantage of the situation. Be grateful and be present for every moment. And that's what I was able to do in Iceland, man. I had my emotional, spiritual awakenings out there. I had so many things that brought me on a path that, honestly, I never thought I'd be on. I never thought I'd be able to have my own business, be sober, go to freaking Iceland, man, go live an adventure. I got to perform out in Iceland, man. I got to do shit that most people will never be able to do. And it's like, I'm grateful, bro. I live those memories every day in my head, and not to gloat or to be like, oh yeah, I did da, 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 da. But no, it's like, I encourage every single fucking human being. If you have the opportunity, go outside the U.S. Go explore. Go live. Go see something different. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That shit was, that was everything that I could imagine and fucking more, dude. It was.
Yeah.
That's a dope-ass wild story.
Yeah. It, man. There's so many wilder stories, bro. I got lost downtown. I'm pretty sure they're not going to put that in the film because we went out there to shoot a documentary. But we went out downtown to go party and stuff, and I ended up just like staying out and dancing a bit and having fun. And Drew wanted to go venture off, and I think go back to the hotel room. Mark went somewhere and like met up with some people, and I'm like, how the fuck do I get back to the Airbnb? Like, which way? And nobody tells me anything, bro. I circled that fucking area for an hour until I saw something familiar. And then I was able to, like, backtrack from there. So I just look like an angry nigga walking through Iceland with his, like, hands in his pocket and his head down. And I'm just like, where the fuck am I? Bro, it was bad, man. And then we have a ticket. Like, I have a ticket in Iceland. I'm fucking wanted in Iceland, bro. They sent us the screenshot. And, like, these fucking cameras, they caught my face square. There's no way I could deny that shit, bro. So we'll see what happens next time I go to Iceland.
You said I'm wanted.
I'm wanted, bro. Oh my god, man. No, not for right now. At least we're gonna let it cool down a little bit.
Three awards for my arrest.
Yeah, no. See, that's one of those catch me if you can. Catch me if you can, motherfucker.
Right. I end up
chopping
off the dread.
Yeah, like I know I got a ticket. What you gonna do about it? Yeah, that's one of those. Like, yeah, I know.
You're still American.
Iceland.
Just
stay
to tweet the
country.
You're still
American.
I love that shit.
Yeah.
Charge it to the game, bro. Like,
oh, man.
I'm an American. I don't know.
Hey, that's... But that's
exactly.
Necessary to be able to say that. Like, you can actually add that to your resume.
Yeah, there was a couple situations where I was like, I'm sorry, I'm an American. I'm loud. You know what I mean? Because I had to start reading rooms. Like, anytime we went in a room, like, people, they spoke very softly, very intently, very calmly. It means, like, I'm fucking energized, man. I have a lot of energy. I like speaking with emotion. I want you to vividly be able to picture what I am saying as I'm saying this shit. You know what I mean? And as I'm, like, having these conversations with, like, Carrie and stuff at, like, you know, there, for instance, there's a place we went out there called Berlin. It was a restaurant. And we go inside, and we're just having a conversation. We're chatting and stuff. And literally, the entire restaurant shuts the fuck up and starts looking at us. And I feel like we're in a fucking movie of, like, you know, invader body snatchers type shit. Like, it was crazy. But we had dropped I'd accidentally dropped the glass, and a glass had broke. So I like went to offer. I was like, hey, you guys got a broom? I almost said a towel. Do you guys got a broom and a you know, a scooper? I'll go ahead and sweep this up for you guys right now. The dude literally looks at me, and he was like, no. And I was like, okay, well, there's glass down here, so, you know, I don't want nobody stepping on it. Can you get it up right now? And he looks at me again, and I was like, you know what? Here, you stand right there. I'm going to go pick this up with a napkin. Thanks. And literally just stared at me while I picked it up with a fucking napkin. And I'm like, I'm not a violent person. I'm not an angry person, but I wanted to throw punch the fuck out of that guy. Like, my nigga's like looking at me, pick this shit up right now. Okay.
I'm like, what part of the game is this? Like,
you know what I mean?
What's supposed to be happening here? What's I just need a broom.
Bro.
And
you know
what I'm saying? What the fuck?
Jeez.
You ain't got one of those in the back somewhere? Y'all don't speak back here?
Right.
This has never happened to me.
Or is that a, and you know what it was? It's more important that you dropped it. It's less important to clean it up.
Yeah, that's all it is. Like, regardless, I always pick this shit up.
They're probably fucking Americans. That's probably what he was thinking.
Bro, that the whole time I'm like, I know that's what they're thinking as they're looking at me, man.
You know what you should say? You know what you should have told the cats you was on the road with? You should have literally said, bro, pay attention. You're about to learn what it feels like to be black. All day, every day.
Bro,
you see? I bet you ain't never seen that. Before. Staring at you like you're a wax figure. Yeah, bro. You don't know what to do with that, do you? You don't know what to say hi.
Oh,
you don't know what to run. You don't know what to do, huh?
No, they had my back. They made sure I was getting me. Like, I never feel uncomfortable anywhere. Like, I'm a free spirit, man, and I don't believe in questioning or hating at first until you give me a logical reason to do so. And so I just, you know, I walk around with my head up and, you know, a big smile on my face, and they made sure they checked on me. They're like, yo, you good? Everything okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm square, bro. The only downside, I think the only hard part I had out there was, so I was a driver. I didn't know how to drive stick before I went out there. The fucking camper van was a stick.
Oh.
Yeah.
See, your life got better just then.
Yeah, so your boy knows how to drive a stick now, but during those 2 weeks, that was the worst fucking 2 weeks of my life trying to learn that shit. Bro, I felt like every moment I almost had a heart attack. Like, I think the first day I stalled at every stop just because I didn't understand, like, shifting back into first and, like, you know, keeping your foot on the clutch and da-da-da-da. So I was always out of combo. Like, it just never worked. And I think by, like, the, like, 12th day, maybe, I was a pro, and I was like, oh, man, I'm about to take it to fifth gear. You know what I'm saying? Like, I felt good. You boys, I was staying comfortably in fourth the whole time. I didn't care, man. And last one, I had to try it out, and I went to fifth, and guess what? I dropped right back down to four. I was like, no dice.
What, you were trying to Tokyo Drift in Iceland? What's going on, man?
No dice. Your boy was the safest driver. I should have had fucking Progressive in that snapshot, because I was a safe-ass driver out there.
Oh, shit, that's funny. That's as bad as my experience when I learned how to drive stick. My mom took me out in this little POS Ford Ranger, and we went out way out on this back-ass country road, and all of a sudden she just got out. She said, here, get over here. Well, what do you mean? Get over here. You're going to learn how to drive this thing. And I did. I learned it. I had to. You know, and she clutch, and then she, you know, put her hand on the top of mine, and she shift down, and then, you know, she up and went through all the gears and everything like that. And just, you know, hell, it took me about, I don't know, probably about 3 days, and I was all right at it.
Stick champion over there, man.
I got pulled over because of a stick shift. Because of the damn, this was like, I was having issues getting out of first and installing, you know what I'm saying? Like doing that clutch ratio just to get out of that first gear.
So
I was rolling up on a stop sign, and I'm like, well, there's no one around. It's a stop sign on a railroad track. I'm like, I'm just going to coast over this thing. And man, if there wasn't a fucking cop behind a sign, like right next to the damn railroad track, she's like, what are you doing? Why didn't you stop the stop sign? I'm like, man, look, it's a stick shift, and I just learned how to drive this thing, and I still have problems. And I had some weed on me, you know what I'm saying? So I'm already pushing out, like, I'm going to jail, you know, like, this is in Florida, you know, back before Florida was cool, you know what I'm saying? And
yeah, yeah.
when did Florida get cool? Wait a minute, time out. When did Florida get cool? Florida, did I miss that meeting?
Before they laid off, arresting everybody for every fucking thing in the world. But they fucking, but so, like, I'm nervous and I'm freaking the fuck out the whole time, man. I've talked this cop so good. By the time I got to talk with him, he was going through the gears, like, next to my car. Yeah, you just clutch, you know, first, and then you let out, and then, you know, all this. And he's going through it, like he's in the car with me driving for me, you know? Like,
oh, you were sweating bullets at that moment.
He's doing all the motions, and I'm chain smoking, like, a freaking, like, you know, my cigarette's just, like, back to back. Like, I'm drawing a whole cigarette down about four puffs, and, like,
oh,
okay.
My God.
So...
is awesome.
Yeah, that was like 3 days.
You guys are both better than me, because my learning how to drive a stick story was this. My dad's a gangster. He basically said, okay, let's go for a ride. He pulled up on the 101 highway and pulled over and said, look, either you learn how to drive it or we're going to die.
Oh, shit.
Just literally. that's how he... Either you learn how to drive it or we die. So
I'll see you in heaven, son.
Yeah. And Smooth sat in the passenger seat and just sat there. Like, I got all day.
Bro, that is intense. So I had a similar situation back in, like, I want to say 2006. So I was younger. This is back in my heavy drinking days. And I'm rolling with my buddy John Eccles, and I pray to God John Eccles is listening to this right now. That is one of my best friends. I love the guy. Back then, he was a dick and a tool bag, and he fucking knows that. This motherfucker's like, you know what, bro? I'm going to teach you how to drive stick today. Mind you, we had just polished off a couple fucking bottles of vodka. And he's like, yeah, we're just going to go out in the woods, and we'll be fine. And, like, we won't be around anybody. So I'm feeling a little bit more comfortable. I'm like, cool, all right. We go out there. And so at this time, I was staying in Big Bear, and there's a place called Moon Ridge and Sugarloaf. And there's a road in between this forest that connects the two cities. So it's called, that area is called Moonloaf. And so we were over there, and there's like mountains and cliffs and da-da-da. This motherfucker drives right next to the edge of a cliff and is like, all right, man, here, it's your turn. You show me what you got. So I go, nigga, tell me why he did not tell me reverse is right there by fucking first. Bro, I put that motherfucker in reverse and gassed it and went backwards and almost off that fucking cliff, dead ass farted, almost shitted myself. That shit was scary. We get out, dude. I'm cursing, screaming. I'm fucking scared. And he's just like, all right, man, we'll try again tomorrow. Hops in and we fucking go back to his house. I'm like, bro.
We'll try again tomorrow.
We're trying to fucking
do it. You're a better friend than me. I ain't going to lie. We would have had to fight. I'd have like, no, we got to fight. I love you, but we got to fight. All my boys know that. Like, that's how I am. Like, bro, I love you to death, but right now, no, we got to fight. That's why I don't play no practical joke. I'm that guy. All my boys know I'm not a practical joke guy. I'm too chunky for that. I'm too high strung for that. So I'll be like, bro, yeah, we got to fight.
I feel that, bro.
two men enter, one man leave. Two men enter, one man leave. We got to do it. Come on.
We still gonna be friends, but we're gonna fight it out right now.
Right.
I gave you the disclaimer ahead of time. I told you I'm scary as fuck. So, hey, you tried it. Let's fight. Let's fight. I love you after. I promise. Win or lose, I still love you. But hey, we gotta solve this fight, man. I challenge you to a duel. And that's why my friends don't play jokes on me. Wow.
That's hilarious.
So hey, let's get into some music, man. I mean, I called this man a God level MC. The people need to know why.
Yeah. That's why I was just thinking the same thing, and I was just fixing to chime in and ask him what do you want to debut first on Note by Note Radio Show out of the three songs that you sent us.
I'm gonna let you guys take a pick, man. Just go ahead and randomly pick one.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna play this one. Because by the look of the title, it's the most interesting looking song. Ursine, Vulpine, Arcanine.
Yeah.
That's the title.
Yeah. So that one. Okay. I actually just did that one not too long ago. Arcanine. It's Vulpine. What the heck is the name? I can't remember the name, but she made this beat, and it's just this beautiful, like, orchestra storytelling building song type beat. So I was like, you know what? Like, I want to tell a story. I want to tell a good story. And I just saw, I don't know if you guys have seen it. Have you guys seen that movie Knowing with Nicolas Cage?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
So the ending, like how, because we're not going to spoil this for everybody that hasn't seen it, but like the ending, you know how he goes to his pop's house and his pop's like, hey, it's going to be okay. And he's, Nicolas Cage is like, I know. Just because, you know, he saw with the kids and the angels and stuff. And so the idea that I wanted to create was the world, because the world's pretty much shit right now. So like the world's ending and we're sending our kids off to the next venture and like they're going to be okay. But we gotta figure some shit out because we about the end zones. You know what I mean?
Hell yeah!
True.
Hell yeah! Okay. All right. So
yeah.
Is it just Arcane Eye? Is that
just Arcane Eye?
Okay. All right. Arcane Eye. All right. My bad.
All good.
So this is Zero. This is Arcane Eye. Let's check it out, everybody. We'll be right back. Stay with us. We're going to stay here with Zero. We're going to keep this interview going. We'll be right back in just a few minutes.
This that game changer. This that shit you ain't never heard of. I'm going to speak some shit to you guys, man. I'm going to talk my shit as DJ Rakim would say, I'ma talk my shit. Listen. I said that I was trying. Why the fuck would I be lying? Inside I suffocate in silence. Outside I get loud, you see me smiling. Cause the world is still watching. And in the crowd I see my daughters, all for one, just like All Might. A reminder, I'm their father. So I look back and smile while I struggle with addiction. In my head all the while I wonder if I'm even worth fixing. So why smile throughout the pain? Isn't that just a contradiction? You must not know love, so I need you to sit down and listen. This world is full of shit, why would I wanna put that on their plate? I just wanna see them love with that beautiful smile upon their face. As I go down in flames, I know that they will still remain. Cause I'm not staying in my lane, you'll never hold me back again. No longer can I be contained, I'm breaking the fuck about these chains. Why was Abel killed by Cain? His jealousy was to blame. We fucking humans are the same. Full of shit and made a play. But my little human taught me something, so my old ways die today. I'll slap that taste about your mouth, give you a whole new sense of respect. You need to discipline your mind, let go of barbaric intellect. Can you see? We at the end. Better make your peace while you can. I'm not saying this to offend. Unfortunately, everything ends. I mean, we've seen all the signs. Yeah, we acting like we blind, partying like it's 1999. But we are running out of time. Fuck! As war begins to rage, and as the earth begins to die, we place our kids upon the ship, and we watch them finally touch the sky. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
The angels sounded off their trumpets, and the world began to crumble. The earth is quaking from the rockets, fire rages in the jungle. I watch my daughter go further, my heart at ease, they're out of danger. Please don't cry, my little one, I promise I won't be a stranger. I'll be with you every step of the way. Sometimes I'll visit you in your dreams. I'll be with you every step of the way. This is your story, so now it seems. As I fall into the earth, I feel my daughter's embrace. Is this really the end? And I open my eyes, I see my mama's face.
Mom?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Note by Note Radio Show. It is I, your host, the guy in glasses, with me broadcasting from his home studio is my boy Jesse Lives. Jesse, say what up to everybody.
What up, everybody? What the hell did I tell y'all? What did I tell you about this man? That's all I'm going to
say. Man, that was freaking...
What did I tell y'all?
That was powerful. Wow.
I appreciate that, man.
Man, That was intense, man. And because of the Google Doc stuff, man, I hadn't got to listen to the songs yet. So like I'm hearing all this for the first time, you know, and you know, as the audience is hearing it for the first time. And I'm already thinking like when I leave the studio here tonight, downloading this on my phone and playing it over the speakers on my Harley on the way out tonight.
Hell yeah, man. Appreciate that, brother.
Man, that is powerful. I love that.
Music I tend to create, I try it because there's a part in there where it's like my daughter's, please don't cry, my little one. I promise I won't be a stranger. That towards that end part, I started choking up, like, because visually, words are so powerful, man, and that's a gift I got from my mom. My mom was a writer, and so when I write with, like, my spirit. I write with emotion, man, and, like, rapping that, like, it broke me, and I started bawling, and I had to, like, catch my breath, and I was like, I'll be with you every step of the way, and I had to, like, force it through, man. But a lot of my songs, like, even remixes, or, like, any remixes I do, I keep it as not dry, but as unedited as possible, because I want you to hear the, not necessarily mistakes, but the the emotion, the raw emotion as it's coming, you know what I mean? And for me, it just adds much more of a picture to the story I'm trying to tell.
I can see that. Absolutely. Yeah. I can see you being in the studio doing that and then tearing up in the end of that. You speak with such passion and everything and depth. I can tell that, you know, that could get to you like that, man. And just thinking about that, you know, talking about your babies and stuff like that. I mean, yeah, man, that'll get that'll get somebody choked up real quick, man. Jesus.
Right, right.
That was insanely powerful, man. I love that. That was beautiful.
Thank you, man.
And to add more power to that is when you meet Zero, nothing about who you meet prepares you for what you're going to hear. That's what really fucked me up about because usually I get that from people like, I expected someone so different than who just showed up. I usually get that. But mine is more of the slicker, less, like, I'm more like quietly and sarcastically insulting. This motherfucker just saying, fuck you!
Stop lying, bro. That verse you shot me, bro, is absolutely fire.
Well, you forced me to have to go into that bag. That was a bag
you had on the side of your bed. Stop lying. That one is like, oh, you want a fire verse? Here you go.
He had that shit ready already.
But wait, what did I tell you about that, bro? You gotta be patient with me. I got this thing. I got this idea in my head, but you just gotta really be patient with me. You'll see exactly what I mean. But bro, let me dance with this devil for a little bit. Remember,
It was well worth the wait, bro. That it was fire. Well put together, and like I listen to it almost every day because I have to listen to the album just to make sure everything's sounding good. And that one is one of the I think I was like my throat was going out when I recorded my verse on that one, but the raspiness kind of adds to the cadence a little bit. And then Jordan came in on the second verse, and then you came in the third and closed that motherfucker up. I was like, yo, there ain't nobody else coming after him. We're ending that shit right there.
I appreciate that. But I promise you, that, and I say this on the show a lot, like, this is why I'm such a big fan of creators and just fucking beast lyricists. Because makes me have to be better. Like, I can't.
Yeah.
Like, because the biggest thing, if you're a true MC, us true MCs have one thing that we'll all admit, we don't like to admit it. We don't want to get gassed by another MC.
Hell no.
So it's just like, and when I heard it, I ain't gonna lie, I was like, fucking Zero, man. Fuck, man. Really? Like, damn, bro, this is where you're putting me at. Like, basically you're saying, because I felt like in a moment, it was like that Fight Club moment where it's like, if this is your first night, you gotta fight. That's what I felt like you were basically saying.
You're like,
you gotta,
so we're just
you gotta rap.
The fight. Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, you got to rap, bro.
I'm going to make you rap. You did it, bro.
I appreciate that, man. Like I told you, I just don't want to suck, bro. All the years I've known you, that's always been my question to you. Does it suck?
Not at all, my friend. Definitely not, man. I'm excited to put it out, bro.
Oh, me too. Because I think that's going to be not even saying because I'm on the song. But that is going to be one of those fucking songs that is going to hit people in the soul.
It's perfect,
because
man. Oh, go ahead, sorry.
Go ahead. Say what you're saying. Go ahead.
Y'all get your shit together.
I'm being quiet right now. My apologies.
Oh, no. So I'll just say what I'm saying real quick. I said, because that's one of those songs where nobody's left out.
Right.
That's what I loved about that song. Nobody, if you're a true hip-hop hit, everybody has a place in this song. There's something for every single one. The universal love and community and unity that is hip-hop is embodied in this song.
Yeah, perfectly put. And that's exactly what it is. It's like, you know, we want hip-hop to stick around long after we're here, but, you know, courses over the years, it's so much fluctuation. You don't know if hip-hop's dying off, if it's being, you know, being brought back to life again. So it's like the best we can do is, like, not necessarily send our condolences, but send our letter of apologies, our letter of hope, our letter of what we hope from the world, because what we got from hip-hop, we want to give back. You know what I mean?
Right. Right, because it saved so many lives, and we really don't realize, like, it's literally saved people's lives.
Yeah,
you know, I can say for me, it kept me from going, because honestly, I didn't truly start rapping. Like, I'm like, this is what I'm doing. I'm a rapper. Deal with it.
Yeah.
Until my brother was killed, and that was the craziest thing to me, because that was his final gift to me. Like, bro, because I know me leaving is going to destroy you in a way that you're not ready. And the funny thing is, he told me that almost 6 months to the day that he died, which was crazy as hell. I don't know how he knew, but that's what really destroyed me, because he's like, he said, literally verbatim, bro, I promise you, I'm going to tell you what he said. He said, I'm going to tell you what everybody hates about you. You think you got everything under control, and one day something horrible is going to happen, and it's going to show you you ain't in control of shit.
Right.
And then 6 months later to that day, my mom's calling me saying, I'm going to tell you first, your brother's gone. I don't even need to know. I don't need to see the report. I know he was gone. I felt it when they killed him. Sure as shit, he was gone. So hip-hop kept me sane. Yeah, so that's really how it happened. I mean, if we got my mom on the line, she would tell you the same. That's literally, she knew beforehand. She knew your brother's gone.
Right.
I just want you to hear from me first. Don't all the things, I get all the speculation. And no, your brother's dead. They killed him. I know, I felt it. I felt the bullet. Like, she even to the point where she said, I felt the bullet wound. I know where your brother was shot at, and she hadn't even, it hadn't even been confirmed it was him yet.
It's crazy, bro.
So that's how that's, and it destroyed me in a way, because I had to grapple with, there is no, just like when you lost your mother, there is no take backs. I can't negotiate him back. I can't say, you know, no, fuck that. I'll go instead. He has a daughter. Come on, man. No, he's just going to deal with it.
Right.
So for me, hip-hop was the saving factor, because hip-hop was basically, if I was focusing on that, if I could say if hip-hop was a person, it was like grabbing my face and saying, nope, look over here.
Right.
I'm over here. Nope, this is what you're doing. No. Yeah, they're shitting on you. Look at this. Look at all the enemies you got. Look at all the people talking shit. Yeah, focus on that. Don't look over there. Don't worry about that.
Exactly.
So that's what hip-hop means to me. So that's why I'm so... That's why I'm a hater of Culture Vultures, because I know what they're here to do, and they're here to destroy and use and shit on us. We just don't know it yet. Because we don't see it like that, because, like I've told Jeremy a lot of times, hip-hop is the most non-racist, welcoming religion, culture, whatever you want to call it, on the planet. So we won't even see these people who are here to take from us, because we don't even look at them like, oh, you got it? Oh, you got something? Come on in. Everybody's welcome.
Right.
But not everybody loves us, loves the culture like that, which is the hardest part of it, because how do you maintain a culture when people are parasiting the culture? And
bro, for real.
We can't
and
really
like,
point them out.
Yeah. And like almost like branching it off into different subsections, you know what I mean? Like it's, things are considered hip hop and rap, and it's like, it sounds fucking poppy. It sounds like R&B. It sounds, you know, it sounds nothing like hip hop. And no disrespect to any artists or like anything like that, but it's, you know, hip hop fundamentally is, it's hip hop. You know what I mean? There's a pattern you have to follow with that. You have to tell a story.
Mm-hmm.
You have to try to inspire. Like, that's what hip hop was for, is to inspire those who feel put down, that they're under somebody's fucking boot, and, you know, to start the revolution, or a revolution in yourself to start change, to spark change. And like, most of these motherfuckers rapping about, like, you know, booty and drugs and da-da-da, and it's like, but you look at their everyday life and none of that shit's incorporated in it. You know what I mean? Like, they're just rapping it to rap it at this point. And people fucking eat it up. And it trips me out, man, because what the world needs is some, like, you know, artists like such as us, such as other local artists, other up-and-comers, you know what I mean? Even like our conscious forefathers that, you know, were on the stage before us. Like, what the world needs is inspiration, is hope, and, like, nothing about the fucking music industry today is displaying that hope, is displaying, like, you'll get maybe one or two songs per genre per year of something important that should uplift people.
Oh, yeah.
And it trips me out, man. It trips me out.
Yeah. I feel the same way.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. No. I was just –
No, you go ahead.
Me and Jesse have had this conversation before of how just hip-hop just is not what it used to be, you know, and it's this – and it doesn't matter who it is, you know, like, you know, as far as mainstream hip-hoppers, like they – it's all the same shit. They're all rapping the same shit. They just got their words, you know, mixed differently. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's that – it's all the same, you know, and it's aggravating, it's tiring. And that's one thing I love about this show and what me and Jesse are doing and you know, just trying to show people, you know, there's other stuff than the mainstream stuff that's out there, all right? Because that shit will suck, it does. It sucks you in. It's sex, drugs, rock and roll, alcohol. It's all the same thing. It's just, you know, packaged differently by depending on who the artist is, who says it, you know. And I hate that. I hate that. But and then we hear something like that, like we just heard Arcane 9. What a powerful fucking song, you know.
That hits
to your core, you know. It's that's what music is supposed to be about. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's how music should hit you, and maybe not every song is going to do that, but you know, there has to be that, you know, like when you put out an album or something like that, you know, 6 or 7 of them songs need to be, you know, just powerful, just like that, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And not that same rhetoric of, you know, ass and titties and fancy cars and big mansions and shit, because that is, it's played out and it's old. I mean, they played that, it's ridiculous, you know?
And they're still doing it today, too, and it's a trip, man.
Yeah, because all these new guys who get mainstream, they get contracts and they get record deals and stuff like that or whatever, they're following the suit because that's what they're told to do, because that's what the labels, they want you to do. Right. That's that formula. They make you follow that formula that fits to them that they know will fucking sell, you know?
Exactly.
And people eat it up, and that's fucking retarded. Like, they talk about people being sheep to the government. That's some sheep shit right there. That is some sheep shit. How in the fuck are you going to sit there and just blindly follow that and just the same thing. Well, this guy said it. He said the same fucking thing, just use different words. This guy said the same fucking thing, use different words again. Like, it's all the same shit. Stop feeding off that fucking spoon, all right? All right, and get you a fucking fork and eat something else. Like, and rant. Sorry.
I feel that, bro.
That's the perfect rant.
Yeah.
That's the perfect rant.
Hell yeah.
That's why independence is so important. And that's the thing. That's But the catch is, it's why artists like Zero are needed, because voices have to be heard. Like, and that's the thing. The catch is, like, I think we had this in another interview that we were talking about, where I said people are caught up in doing what works and not what's right.
Right.
Because all they see is the cats doing what works. And so the problem is, and this is where we mess up on this side of the ball. And I'm damn sure guilty of this. We spend so much time talking shit and like, see what you keep fucking with that whack shit. But what we're not realizing, like, nah, I can't tell you it's whack. What I gotta do is let me show you the shit's whack by, here's my product, bitch. Now put that next to that and let's talk. Like, so, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's when I started saying, no, fuck that. I'm not going to bitch about the MCs that suck. I'm going to start gravitating to the MCs that are dope.
Yeah,
being like,
exactly.
You. And that's what was so dope about this show. Like, no, you need exposure. I think you need this exposure. You got to come on my show, dude. Like,
I respect that and appreciate the shit out of that, bro.
I mean, that's what it's all about, because, like, I need you to win. And vice versa, bro. Yeah. But
like,
how do we do that without, like, go ahead.
I was gonna say if I ain't winning, you ain't winning. If you ain't winning, I ain't winning. That's what the view should be. Is like we need to uplift each other because right now, like I feel like I'm in a good place, man. Like life is good. It could be better, but I'm not complaining because it is better than what the fuck it has been. You know what I mean? So now that I'm at this good point, like I want my family, I want my friends, I want my people to be able to live and feel good. Because I know exactly what it feels like on the opposite spectrum. And I don't like that shit, bro. And I don't like seeing people in pain, man. And if I can help, if I can inspire you with my fucking words, man, if all it takes is my breath, me using my fucking vocal cords to lift you up and give you some strength, I'm going to do that 24 fucking hours and so on, horse. Dead ass. And there's no lie about that.
As MCs, the one thing, because this is what I've seen a lot of MCs, they don't want to be challenged.
Yeah.
It's like even the song that we were talking about that we did, the fact that you sent me something that made me have to say, fuck, okay, all right, because it's like, so, because the way I came up was, no, I want to be around the illest motherfuckers I can find because I want to be that kind of animal.
Yep, yep.
But most, you know, we live in a time now where cats don't even want to be criticized. Bro, this is hip-hop. Like, the foundation of being a rapper is you technically had to get in a cypher first before you could even record shit.
Exactly.
I know motherfuckers that say they don't even rap on certain days. I've literally heard motherfuckers say, I don't rap on Thursday. What the fuck?
What? Like, what do you rap on then, bro?
Drew, right hand to God. And I'm not going to say who it was because he's actually made a name for himself, but... Right hand to God, I'm going to tell you the story. I'm just going to leave the names out to protect the innocent.
Right.
I was, and this is when I had my deal. And so we were in a situation where I was with a DJ and a producer. And it was like, it was me and this other cat. And it's like, okay, for example, say like your boy is somebody and his boy is somebody. But he got an MC that this is his MC and you're your homeboy's MC. And y'all just happen to be in the same room together. And it's just like, okay, you want the beat? And I was like, yeah, I want that beat. Well, he wants it too. Well, rap for it.
What?
And I was like, well, fuck it. And I could tell you, I could even tell you the rhyme I spit. I was just like, oh, I'm on it. And It's a lion in my mind and the boars is monkey. Lions, tigers, and bears, they all hungry. They on a short leash, and nigga, you ain't hungry. We all just blood in the water, and it ain't no sharks. You pumping Kool-Aid. I was on that shit. You see what I'm saying? And so I'm paraphrasing. It was more motherfuckers and bitch ass. I was there. And so this other MC walks in who wanted to beat it. He literally stands there and listens. Now, dude goes back and forth with me. But the third MC that wanted to beat, he was like, I don't rap on Thursdays, and walks out the room. That's how he conceded, bro.
He couldn't think of anything on the spot, bro.
But you're an MC. We're not talking about just I'm a rapper. No, we're talking about I got a deal. He got a deal. We're all three signed artists. And this motherfucker was like, yeah, I don't rap on Thursdays. And walks up to him. I was just like, what? And the funny thing is, I'll say this. I won't say this person's name, but you hear him on the radio now.
Oh, my God.
I know that artists don't want to be challenged. But the catch is you got to be challenged to get better. That's the whole iron sharpens.
Very
and that's
true.
What makes Wu-Tang,
very true.
Wu-Tang, because imagine it being in a room with those animals. Even down the old dirty bastard will give you a beating if you give him a chance to. And then you wonder why they're the legendary, world, universal, you know, everybody loves the Wu-Tang. Because, bro, you had what? You have over 20 MCs that are all lions and tigers and they're hungry at all times.
Exactly.
I'm jealous of motherfuckers who got that shit. I say that. That's the one thing. If I'm jealous of anything, of any crew, when it's you can name them, Wu-Tang, Souls of Mischief, Rockefeller when it was the gang. Bro. And I feel like as MCs, there's so many MCs scared to be an MC.
Yeah.
Because you're supposed to get destroyed. It's the weirdest thing. And that's the one thing people don't get about Eminem. Eminem spent 90% of his career getting his ass kicked.
Yeah,
but nobody wants to admit that part. That's how he became the god that he is. He was in Detroit, yeah, getting destroyed on a nightly basis, but he kept, like you said,
he didn't give up, and that's what most MCs do these days. Like, if they put out an album or they invest in themselves, they don't get that turn back that they like, or they don't get the crowd that they like. Oh, music is stupid now. And it's like, no, that's not the fucking case. It's not always going to go your way. You know what I mean? Like, as an entertainer, your job, your stage is your house. The audience, that's your company. You're there to entertain your company. So we see, like, mm-hmm, most artists, they're like, and it's local, okay? Local artists, not even big. Like, they don't have deals or anything. Will sit there and, like, yell at the crowd because they're not vibing with them. Like, the crowd, they need to find their vibe with you. And that's your job, mm-hmm, is to help them mesh in that vibe. And if you can't do that, then you got to practice, man. And if you can't practice, then that's when you should give up, because there's no point. Like you said, like, you're going to have to taste defeat. That's how you learn. That's how you move forward.
Can't be taking Thursdays off,
right,
you know?
No, you can't. But the thing is, what a lot of cats got to understand is the crowd doesn't they're not obligated to show you love.
No,
and that,
not at
that's
all.
The one mistake I feel like a lot of MCs have. Nobody's obligated to buy your shit. Nobody's obligated to listen to you. And it's funny because we live in the age of social media where literally spamming and threatening your fans is the thing to do.
Right.
But
if you guys don't like my post, I'm deleting you guys.
Right, but truthfully, the fans don't owe you. Okay, we'll just go back to the night I met you. Truthfully,
yeah,
I just wanted to impress you. I don't even do a freestyle. I don't even do it. Hold up, stop the beat. But that specific night, no, bro. You, okay, another story. I literally stopped the show. Oh, I was telling it to Jeremy. So on my set, this one of the few times I did this, I was like, stop the music. I'm talking to you, Zero. I'm talking to you. Tell me I didn't do that. Like, this is for
call me out.
I just want you to know, I'm talking to you. I want you to listen to these bars, bro. So just so you understand that I got them, and so you know, I'm not even gonna try to convince you. Like, so just DJ, go away. Hype man, go the fuck away.
And yo, like, that caught my attention, and that's something like that most artists don't understand. It's like, sometimes you got to do shit that they don't expect. Like, I didn't expect you to call me out. I didn't expect you to stop everything and be like, yo, hear me out right now. You know what I mean? Like, that pulled not only me, but that pulled everybody in, because everybody's like, oh, you call him out. Well, shit, you got my attention now too. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And it was literally me. That was my way of showing respect to you as another MC. But
oh, yeah.
To show you that I'm not afraid to, one, to stand in the same room with you, knowing what you've already done, and two, I want these other so-called rappers in here to understand, like, this is a conversation between two rappers. I don't know what the fuck y'all are doing.
Yes.
Like, because sometimes I feel, and this is something like my mentors always told me, sometimes you gotta tell the little kids to shut up while grown folks are talking.
That's very true.
My big brother always tells me, and it's just a weird thing. I just wish more MCs would embrace what MCing is.
Right.
Because it's about your respect.
A bunch of it's all respect, all love, but at that, it's competition, man. It's honor and competition, and a lot of people lost that honor because if they lose or they get their feeling hurt, they take shit personal. It's like, okay, I understand, like, you're pissed, but that doesn't give you a reason to lash out or want to quit or get personal on the other person. Like, this is, it's just music, you know what I mean? Music, it gets gritty
right. Sometimes,
and you have to learn to throw the blows, and fucking you're in a catch a couple. And that's okay, but you have to keep moving forward.
True. And how do you get better if you avoid the uncomfortable shit?
Exactly, you don't.
You know, like, and it's funny. Motherfuckers think they can, because I've even heard cats say, well, I don't write bars, I write songs. Then you need to go sing some songs then, bro. What are you doing down here in the gutter with us? This is the hood, bro. This is the bottom. Okay? Like, literally, you know, pissy hallways, things like that, gang shit, drug dealing, You know, drive-bys. Yeah, that's this down here. That's still hip-hop. Sorry to say.
Yeah,
here. Project building. Still hip-hop. Trust me. Yeah, graffiti. Still hip-hop. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Your homeboy's a good person. He carries a gun every day. Yeah, that's hip-hop. Like, what are you doing here? You must want to be an R&B diva. But, you know, if you say that now, that just makes you a hater.
Right.
Let's play another song here. We got about 40 minutes left.
Yes.
We got two more songs we're gonna listen to tonight while we got him with us. So let's see. Jesse, I'll let you pick this one. We've got Unresolved or Zero's Anger.
Play Zero's Anger.
See, if you're like me, I
like when Zero goes the fuck off on everybody. That's what I'm a fan of. Like, cause I'm that guy. Trust me, I'm the guy in the background. Like, yeah, you tell Zero. Yeah.
Right, bro. So I have that friend.
I have literally that. Go ahead.
Right. When I wrote this one, I heard it. It was the Dragon Ball. Have any of you guys watched Dragon Ball Z?
Every day of my life, bro.
You can't see my head right now, but it's literally going through the roof for my nigga. But
yeah.
So you know Gohan, right? And like, you know, Gohan when he was younger,
sir.
Like Gohan's anger. So I was listening to YouTube or the work like, and this lo-fi station of Dragon Ball Z songs came on, and it's just like these calm, like dark, I don't know how to explain the feeling that it gave me, but like hearing it, I was just like, I got a picture of me back in third grade, you know what I mean, getting bullied and just like having my rage mode, you know what I mean, and I explain it in there, and it's like, I'm proud of myself, and I'm super excited that the fact that we get to create stories, like us artists, like this shit is a beautiful thing, man, and like, I'm just going to let you guys play, and it'll explain itself.
Yeah, all right. Well, let's play it, and we'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Zero's Anger. It's 3 minutes and 41 seconds, so we'll be right back, and we're going to continue the interview with Zero, everybody. Stay with us.
Let me ask you a question, one that doesn't reveal your reflection, one that might even teach you a lesson. Just listen, I'm reminiscing. Are you ready for that question? Your confession is mind-boggling, it's these elections. Alright, here goes, where this will go, nobody knows. Emotion shows, bully got in my face and I froze. Like stubbing my toes, my eyes watered and my anger rose. We started throwing blows, I got punched in the nose, my eyes closed. I'm seeing red, I took that motherfucker straight down. Seconds from breaking his face, but instead I was punching the ground. Thought I had trouble controlling my anger. I don't like to hurt, cause the pain, I am not a stranger. Broke every bone in my hand, to this day don't think I can. Give you a logical reason why I didn't crush his bones of sand. It was the third grade, little fucker called me the N-word. I almost destroyed the world, but I didn't because of her.
I know how you feel, Gohan. You are gentle, you do not like to hurt.
I keep having this feeling, it's like something is not revealing, so I drowned it out with my addiction. September 8th is when the world closed around me,
but
2020, fuck that year, all of us lost plenty. I mean, I've seen many, hearts break, to be honest, it's kinda sad. Some of the heaviest tears I know are the tears of a dad who can no longer see his daughter, and it's only getting harder cause I'm sober, getting older, and I'm drowning in these waters of illusion. I mean, what the fuck am I doing in the past? Everything I touch got ruined, but I like that old me die, so here he lies. He's in his grave once in a while, I can't still hear him cry. And you can't deny, when these rhymes supply your imagination to help your ass free your mind. And God knows I'm trying to respect his design. Like when Lucifer fell for Eve, that was a true love's crime. Whoa.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Note by Note Radio Show. It is I, your host, the guy in glasses. We are on the phone with Zero, and that was Zero's anger. Man, that was another bit. Look, I'll tell you this. Like, when that song started and you first came in right there at the beginning, I was like, holy shit. Luckily, the mic was muted and shit like that. Like, man, that was fucking crazy, man. Wow.
Thank you, man.
Jesus.
Why are you not famous already? I said it already.
That's not even a joke, man. Like, why aren't you famous already? Jesus.
Because bullshit sells, bro. Bullshit sells in the Matrix. Think about this.
You answered that for me, man.
It's true. Look. Okay, rappers. All rappers or aspiring rappers or aspiring MCs. Let me tell you from somebody that's been actually on the other side of the Matrix, okay? I don't like to speak about having a major deal because it amounted to nothing. It was the worst situation I ever put myself in. But here's the catch. That whole system in the Matrix functions on an algorithm that's about printing money. They don't give a fuck about you or how talented you are or how dope you are. They want
exactly.
people that can influence fuckery because fuckery sells. Smart people ask too many goddamn questions. That's why guys like Zero are not famous. I'm just going to tell you the real. Because I can tell you, for me in the situation, Zero would have probably been in the same situation I was. And the key thing is, well, we don't technically know how to market you because you don't kill enough people. You don't fuck enough bitches. You don't
exactly.
But that's why. So you got to ask yourself, do you want to be a person that has to live with doing sus shit to be famous?
Yeah,
or
never that.
Do you want to be respected for your actual dopeness?
Definitely respected,
that's
man.
The decision.
Yeah, my approach on it, my view on it, at first, when I first started, I like any artist, man, I wanted to be heard. I wanted to be seen. I wanted people to know who I was, you know what I mean? And it was hard to get out there not knowing the ins and outs of the music industry, who I needed to talk to, how I needed to approach and network and da-da-da-da. So I literally started on my own. I bought a Tascam DPL-3, prayed to God that somehow it worked, and it did, man. I figured out how to do it. Didn't know how to mix and master. I still have like all my old stuff on Reverb Nation just for a reminder to look back and be like, yeah, I did that shit myself. You know what I mean? And I was able to get out there, man. But the problem was is when you get out there, when you start out like lyrical MCs like me and you are, Jesse, when you start out like that, people see that and people gravitate towards that and they want to be around that. They're like, yo, he's dope. He's going somewhere. Let's do that. So all of a sudden, we have all these people around me, just people wanting to be a part of my circle and da-da-da-da. Time, I had such a fucking horrible drinking problem that I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. You know what I mean? By the grace of God, I was able to land these opportunities and do them and get through them, you know what I mean? Like, I can't tell you on two hands, you know, how many times I opened up for Tech N9ne. Like, there's just so many times, you know what I mean? Every time he comes to Boise and just the opportunities that came along, and they kept pushing me and boosting me. But eventually it got to a point where I didn't get, like, selected for Treefort out here in Boise or something. I can't remember. And I threw a hissy fit like a fucking 16-year-old girl in her first period, man. Like, it was fucking bad. Like, I was acting really immature about it. And I ended up doing, like, a post about it and was like, what the fuck, man? All these stupid artists got so nice. Da-da-da-da-da. And the decision got reversed because I bitched about it. And I literally, right after he did that, I had to sit back and, like, did I just fucking act like a prima donna and, like, fucking bitch about this and get it reversed because I was a crybaby about it? So I had to, like, literally sit down and, like, reflect. Like, what am I doing this for? What am I doing music for? You know what I mean? I started out doing it because I didn't have an outlet. I didn't have light. And music created that light for me. And so I had to go back to the roots. And so if you notice, a lot of my beats or a lot of the instrumentals I do, they're not like bangers. They're not booty popping songs. They are like rhythmic, very, very soft, somber, melodic music, because I'm trying to create a story to where you're going to sit the fuck down and listen. And then all of a sudden, that came more full circle. Like, I can make it famous tomorrow, or I can't. Like, it doesn't matter. Something's going to happen tomorrow. So in between time, I'm just going to create something I love and hope that it inspires and makes somebody smile. And I'll tell you, bro, anytime I post one of those picture videos or any songs that I do, if I get at least one comment, your boy is fucking kosher, because I just want to help. That's all I'm trying to do with music these days, man. Like, if getting famous and anything comes along the way, that's awesome, man. Like, cool. But that's not the focus anymore. The focus is to be a part of the bigger picture, man. And the bigger picture is outside the industry.
True indeed. True indeed. Feed the effing indeed. Oh, wait, hold on. Sidebar. I need a moment here. So I just got a text from somebody who knows that verse, and they said I spit it fucking horribly, and I need to apologize for spitting it fucking horribly on air. So I apologize to you for spitting that dope-ass verse so horribly, but I was just in the moment, and I was excited, and fuck you. It's my song. I wrote the shit, so I can fuck it up if I want to.
That's what he said.
Yeah. I don't. Yeah.
So that was just a big homie moment, like, bro, don't you ever spit your dope shit that horrible live ever again.
Hey, we need people like that in our lives, though, man.
Like, my bad. Like, yeah, that verse. Like, literally, you know what's bad when you get a text message, like, you know that verse is way doper than that, and you just fucking trampled over it. You embarrassed me, and it's not even my rhyme. Like,
oh, my God.
I was just in the moment. I said I was paraphrasing. Why am I explaining myself to you? You know what? I don't like you. Don't talk to me no more. Like, we're not friends. Just get out here. So I apologize to those of you who know that rhyme and know how fire it is. I'll spit it another time, and I won't fuck it up, but I just won't be in the moment having fun with
right,
a
right.
So, so now you know the type of shit I get. This is the type of pressure I'll be under. Like, motherfuckers are like, you know you're better than that, right?
Oh, my God.
I just want to rap. Leave me alone. Like, that's how I really be feeling. For as tough as I think I am, like, I was like, man, I just want to rap, dude. It's like, go in the other room. Shit. Fuck.
Right.
nobody cares about what you think. I know I'm better, but I'm not trying to be better right now. Can I just be an idiot? I can thank you.
Just let me be me.
Right. No, I've literally sent songs to my homies and be like, that ain't you. That's not the Jesse Liz I'm a fan of.
Yeah.
Like, damn, well, just shit on my dreams, bro. Fuck. Oh, man. So, yeah, speaking of, now going back to you, speaking of the type of beats and production you do pick, what makes you gravitate to the sound that you do?
Anything piano, that has an orchestra or sounds cinematic, it immediately captures my attention. Because my what I've learned over time is when I create music, one of my biggest things, I want people to be able to feel what I feel in that moment, because I feel fucking amazing, or I feel inspired, or I feel overwhelming joy, or like sadness, in a sense that it's okay to feel sad. You know what I mean? So when I create music, I create in the sense that I want people to be able to feel that feeling just by what I'm saying, you know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? So I try to find the beats that create this cadence, this build, as if like when that fucking instrumental starts, all of a sudden everything on the outside of your fucking eyes are just, it goes black and you have tunnel vision. All you can see is this story now, you know what I mean? And it's just like anything piano, orchestra, cinematic, you got
me. Right, okay. Well, you heard it here first. See, now you know why what zero type beats are. So if you want to sound like Zero, now you know what zero type beats sound like. Just an FYI, that was a commercial for you, because, you know, hell, why not make you some money if we can?
So I got a question, and I ask this of most of the artists that come on, but I always feel like it's a good story, so I like asking it. Is there a moment or an event maybe that something happened that you were like, I'm gonna do rap. I'm gonna become an artist, and I'm gonna put my words out there. And to hell if nobody likes it, you know?
Yeah. I think for me, it was 2010-ish, middle 2010. So I moved from California because unemployment was at all-time high at the time. Moved out to Idaho with my wife at the time, and then still had the horrible drinking problem, but was, you know, good as far as I know, a good husband and a good father. Like, I wasn't abusive. I was just a horrible fucking drunk show. And I wound up getting divorced, I think, 2 weeks after we moved out here. And it's like, I don't have shit out there. At the time, I didn't have shit out here. You know what I mean? Everything that I knew was back out in Cali. So not only did I feel abandoned, but I felt fucking played. You know what I mean? And it made my drinking feel a shitload worse just because I'm like, this is all I could think about. This bitch moved me in fucking butt-fuck Egypt out of the middle of nowhere and, like, you know, just going to leave me stranded here. You know what I mean? Like, fuck this place. And it took me a little bit to chill out on that. But I used to teach hip-hop. I used to be a dance instructor in California. So I got a job teaching hip-hop at the city of Boise out here. And one of my best friends at the time, or best friends now, but a friend at the time, Max Pham Nguyen, he was a fellow hip hop teacher, and he was a good friend of mine, and just kind of younger than me, but mentored me because I was still lost, and he was on his way, if that makes sense. And so he kind of helped guide me and helped me through my shit a little bit. And I showed him, because I was writing a shitload of sad poetry, just very emo. Oh, my heart, black as charcoal. Oh, woe is me type shit. And there was a couple poems he had seen, and he was just like, yo. Do you rap these, or is this a poem? What is this? And I told him, like, just writings, you know, a poem that I wrote, and sometimes I can spit it like a rhyme, but I just speak it, you know, spoken word. And he was like, try finding an instrumental for this one and just give it a shot. Just try to rap it. And so I did, and it took me a little bit. And when I got the verse all the way through, probably like my 25th try, because I was so damn inexperienced, when I got the verse all the way through, I sat back and I was like, God dang, that was fire. What the fuck? Like, it inspired me. I gave myself chills, you know? So from there, like, I decided I'm writing music, man. And as a writer, like, you know, especially for my moms, writing an album, if I wanted to, could take me an hour to maybe 2.5 hours. That's if I wanted to. But that doesn't add the substance. That doesn't add the emotion. You know what I mean? That's what I was doing back then. I have like 10 mixtapes that I fucking wrote that I think most of them are on Reverb Nation. I wrote them, recorded them, put them out. They sound like shit. The idea is there, but I didn't care, man. And I kept getting inspired. I kept getting better and better and better and better. And eventually, just off my Reverb Nation, I got the offer. My first big show was Hobson at the Revolution Concert House. And that's because they heard my shit on Reverb Nation. I'm like, yo, apparently I'm doing something right. You know what I mean? I go back and listen to it now, and I'm like, I don't know what the fuck they were thinking, because that shit sounded horrible. But I'm glad they fucking chose it.
Hell yeah, man.
Well,
yeah.
You know, there's a saying that, you know, you got to get through all the whack shit to get through the dope shit. So don't be afraid of the whack shit.
Yes, that's how it always is, bro. And, you know, we live our lives, like, especially with the fucking internet and social media, we live everything so fast-paced that we don't have time to be present, man. And it's just, in these creations, I wish when I first started writing, I was more present. I was more visually, mentally, and spiritually present to feel what I was trying to express. Because I go back and listen, and I'm like, yo, all these are facts that I was spitting, that I was going through, that should have helped me get out of the fire, but it didn't. And it was because I wasn't present. I went off the emotion for the second, and as soon as I got it down on paper, I let it go. You know what I mean? Which is a good thing. You don't want to hold on to raw, like, uncontrolled emotion, like, you know, devastating emotion. You don't want to store that shit. And so I would release it, but I wasn't present. You know what I mean? And I think more than anything is what we need to do is just anything you do, positive, hopefully not negative, but anything in life, be present. Be there so you can experience it. You can understand it. Because through those trials and errors, you only get better. Life only gets better. You go through the shit to get to the better stuff. You go through the muck to get on dry land, man. It takes a little bit of time. But we're so impatient. We're so demanding. I was so demanding. I wanted everything with instant gratification. Oh, I want to be famous. I want to be famous now. I don't want to work. I don't want to fucking sell CDs. I don't want to do shows. I want people to know who I am. I'm so dope, da, da, da. And that mindset fucked me up for a long time, man. It's like now I know I'm dope. I know I'm fire. But I don't have to go around telling everybody. I don't have to say, hey, guess what? I'm an MC and I'm fucking amazing. You know what I mean? Like, no. My music will speak for itself, man. And that's where present kind of came in because if I don't need to speak about it. If somebody comes to me and tells me about that, I'm present. I'm like, yo, you like my stuff? Word? Dope, man. I appreciate that. Thank you. Like, it makes it that much more meaningful because not only did they take their time to come over and tell me or talk to me and tell me how much they enjoy my stuff, but now I get to have this conversation and to hear about their story. They get to hear more about my story. This conversion of between us, like, is the best thing ever. And, like, that's where I found my niche in music is I love conversating with people after shows. It is the greatest fucking thing ever because we're normal people, man. Up on stage, we look like fucking superheroes. Mm-hmm. We look like we're part of the Avengers and shit. But no, nigga, I clean windows. You know what I'm saying? Like, I work at 9 to 5. What are you talking about? And so, like, I try to stay present. I try to stay grounded. Like, I love when people tell me I'm dope, but I tend to deflect compliment, if that makes sense.
Hell yeah.
I think, you know, it's like a weird thing because even I agree with you 100% because to this day, it still like fucks me up when somebody catches a bar that I wrote somewhere. I mean, because I'll still get text messages like, bro, I've been listening to this shit since 2018 and I just figured out what the fuck you were talking about. Like, for real?
You were
like,
exactly right.
And it's a weird thing because it's almost like my inner 12-year-old is like, like, you know what I'm saying?
That's exactly what it's
yeah,
like.
Yeah, I know. That was dope. Like, and I don't know where I am for as tough and real as I think I am. I always have the moment like, stop, you're embarrassing me. Like, so I feel you, but then I think that's the different level, the different ends of the spectrum the game is on because some cats, they feed that's what feeds their ego, is being told how dope they are, you know.
Exactly.
So that's what they're in it for. They're not in it for what it's supposed to be about because the catch is this. And shout out to my homie Cash Rules. He taught me this. Like, there was a time where I just had all these songs on my computer and I was playing them all these songs and he just was like, bro, stop fucking hoarding these songs like you ain't never gonna write another dope ass song. Stop.
Right.
Stop, bro. Stop acting like you're not gonna write another dope ass bar. Stop. Like,
the worst thing that could ever
happen to your ass. Go ahead.
I was just playing off you.
So what he said was, he's like, the worst thing that could ever happen to you, and this is some real shit, this is a gym moment, this is a bar moment, people. The worst thing that could ever happen to your ass is you could actually blow up. Because that's when it gets hard.
That's fucking cool, man.
So if you're writing this shit to blow up, bro, you're begging for your shit to get destroyed. You're begging for it. Because you're going to lose it. But see, I didn't know it because I wasn't at that part of the game yet. And he was. And he was like, trust me, bro. Up here, bro, it's the damn near Sodom and Gomorrah up here, bro. They're going to take it all from you. Fuck that. As soon as I got in the mix up, yeah, we'll take that. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, you wrote that? You did that today? It's not yours anymore, bitch. We'll take that too.
Yeah, right.
Jesus. I mean, so I think that's the thing about being famous. A lot of us don't truly know. that's the worst thing that can happen, because that's the most, that's when it is a job now. That's when you don't have control.
Exactly.
That's when you are, you know, you become in a tool of whatever this thing is. You know, you see, like, just listen, everybody. If you admire a rapper, any rapper, go find when they were just a struggling rapper and look at what they were then and what they were on then compared to what they're on now.
100%.
That'll tell you everything you need to know about what being famous will do to your ass. I'm still 100%. Trying to figure out what happened to Soulja Boy. Like,
what did he even do music anymore?
He does, but it's one of those things, like, okay, this is what I admire about Soulja Boy. Because, see, I look at people's talent level, and I also look at what they accomplished with it. So do I expect Soulja Boy to be spitting Jay-Z level rhymes? No. But when you think about what a 15, 16-year-old kid accomplished, he created a whole new genre of music. But you can see what happens when you take the celebrity and drop it on somebody that's not prepared for it.
Yeah, exactly.
And so to me, that's a tragedy, because who knows what he could have truly grown into, being that he – because that is a Fortune 500 mind to pull off what he – basically, he created streaming for what it is as a rapper. He opened that door for us. So that's what I'm looking at. So, yeah, he still makes music, but it's so – you could tell he's been so jerked around and misled and miseducated and all that. You can see that like the substance he could have had based on all these dope life experiences, he doesn't know how to express them. And that's just my opinion on Soulja Boy. But that's why I always give him his props, because he accomplished something that none of us could even fathom, and he doesn't get his roses for that shit. But the sad part about it is
that
we make fun of him when he tries to bring it up. I'm an MC. I love all things hip hop and all things lyrics. And I'm not saying Soulja Boy is the dopest lyricist, but he created for what it was. It's just like MC Hammer. We're not getting this mainstream money if Hammer is not singing "Can't Touch This" with a full band with 37 dancers. And like, this man had a Taco Bell commercial and a cartoon. And, like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Did we not forget that Will Smith was the Fresh Prince and how dope Will Smith was? But we said he's the corny bro. Have you actually listened to the Fresh Prince rap?
Back in the day?
Yeah, like when it was just Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. Like, but we see Will Smith,
bro.
And we say, oh, he's corny.
Right. No, fire.
But and he set the precedent for your rapper, actor, movie star. Like, we don't get these things without a guy like Will Smith. We don't have the type of independent streaming control without a guy like whatever Soulja Boy's real name is. Like, and so that's why you could never talk bad about them to me, because, right, you motherfuckers don't understand what these guys did at the time they did it, because at the time they did it, that was the shit.
Monumental,
even MC Hammer. Yeah, at the time when Hammer was rapping,
it was unheard of.
That was fire. I don't know how old I was. I know my little kid ass was in there, you know, trying to do the running man with my flat top.
Hell yeah. They'll do that today.
Lightweight, if it come on there. Exactly. And I think that we don't appreciate the shoulders we stand on a lot of times.
Yeah.
Because
the way you put that.
Jesse.
Yeah, what's up?
DeAndre Cortez Way, just to answer your question there. That's Soulja Boy's real name. DeAndre Cortez Way.
Huh. Oh, wow.
Hey, well, DeAndre Way, like DeAndre Way deserves a certain level of respect for what he accomplished. And that's one thing I hate about that's where the mainstream part of it is so toxic and destructive, because I think if he doesn't get sucked into that, he's probably arguably – he lightweight could have turned into either one of the greatest rappers we know or one of the greatest minds we know.
Yeah,
business-wise,
because
he's shit.
Business. Oh,
a dumb person can't accomplish what he accomplished.
Exactly.
Yeah, so,
exactly. He's not stupid.
Not at all. But you see what fame will do. You see what fame does. How it can corrupt a person.
Exactly.
So you even have to ask: does he even make music anymore? Does he even rap anymore? That should be a question for somebody that just literally took over the game. Like, that, there's nobody on this planet that was born before, let's say, 1990 or let's say 19 or say 2000 that has not tried to do the Soulja Boy dance. Let's be real. The president did the damn dance.
Right.
Like, that was a, to create a phenomenon like that.
Right. Have, shoot, like, bro. The whole world was doing it.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Well,
and then,
gentlemen,
and then he followed it up with a bunch of other hit songs. Go ahead.
Yeah.
We ran out of time.
We got about 8 minutes, and we got this one last song we want to play, and then we're going to have to wrap it up.
Oh, play the music.
Word. Yeah, we've got this last song, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll be right back. We're going to finish up with Zero. And I'm going to preface this with, you know, thank you for your time. Today, I know it's hard for, you know, people to give 2 hours to us on the phone, but it's sincerely appreciated. So, and when you make
of
it
course,
big, don't forget about the little people.
word. If I make it, man, we make it, bro.
Hell yeah. Okay. So this is the last time we got on the list here. This is Unresolved, ladies and gentlemen. This is, let's see. This is Unresolved. We'll be right back in a few minutes.
It would be unresolved if we didn't play it, so play it.
So I asked a friend of mine to close his eyes and tell me what he saw when he heard this beat. And he told me somebody walking on a beach, toes in the sand, sky, there's chaos up there, but it's not raining or snowing. And in his head, he's just going through these unresolved issues that he just never got to make peace with. He's at a good place in life, but this is that one thing holding him back. So he spoke to the universe, and this is the conversation they had. The moment she told me we need a break, that was the moment the entire sky began to break. It was that moment the light in my eye began to fade. I no longer had that feeling like a child at his first parade. What's the point to smoke a joint and get philosophical on these hoes? Become a douchebag and chasing these skirts with all my bros? Nah, I already been down this road before. A cycle of hatred got me pedaling through open doors. I had a dream you was holding my hand, all toes in the sand. Damn, why is this happening? Everything was so perfect and it came crashing in. I needed time to grow but didn't know that this would happen then. Overthinking leads to drinking, then it all goes black again. Cause I was seeking heaven's green, and shout out to Max Fam to win. My brother opened my mind, helped me to be happy, man. If I learned one thing, I know that I will always have a friend. So I made peace with my demons, invested a little more faith into what I believe in. Never thought I'd see the day my mother would be leaving. Expect the unexpected, but please hold on to your reason. This life that we live, some things remain unresolved, but it gets easier once you let the hate inside dissolve. Because after it all, we are all we got, a nigger, a honky, a spick, a chink, and a dirty cop. Yeah, take these words out of the equation. Don't blame a race for an idiot putting my face into the pavement. Me and God made an arrangement. I'll endure the evil of this world for my little girls, for their glory so that they can claim it. This type of enslavement that we fall to, cause we made plans for this life and they always fall through. From destiny we tend to run. It's never too late as long as there's breath inside your lungs. I hope you hear me though. Z.
I ain't even come back with an intro. Dude, like, everything you spitfire, like, is it all, like, just badass? Like, everybody should be listening to it? Like, because I just want to hear more now.
Basically.
Like, I want you to send me some albums and stuff like that, you know, and that way I can, you know, I want to be able to list this. I need to put this, you know, because I don't listen to mainstream music. The radio in my truck don't even fucking work anymore. So everything I listen to is, like, you know, other stuff or what, you know what I'm saying? So
I try to tell everybody too, like, any of the remixes I do or just any singles I put out, like, if anybody wants them personally so they can hear them, like, just email me or like message me, DM me, I'll send it to you. Because the point with those songs is, like, what helps me get through the day, what helps with my sobriety, what helps with the loss of my mom is creating. So to be able to create and put out is helping me live right now. You know what I mean? And if that, if people enjoy that and they want to hear that, dope. I don't mind sending that to you one bit, man. An album, obviously, it costs me money. It costs me time. Like, yeah, I'm gonna have to sell that. You know what I mean? But with these singles, like, I would love to give them to anybody. You know what I mean? Just DM your boy and I'll send them your way.
Okay. Well, it's going to be done. I'm going to do it as soon as I get off air because I already got your email address from the Fords from Jesse. So I'm going to email you directly.
Bro, just message me, bro, and I'll go to my computer and shoot you some stuff over, man.
Fuck yeah, man.
Real quick,
awesome.
While we got time, when is
up?
Your new project dropping?
Real quick,
while we still got time.
Got you. So I got everything done. The everything's done. I got the cover. I got all that stuff put together. So I literally just got to get the CDs ordered, get everything set up on distro, and then also because I think I'm probably gonna do an album release out here at the Knitting Factory. I'm gonna chat with them, but I'm gonna say to have all that done. What are we in? End of February. I'm going to say the end of March, if not early April. I'm going to say early April to be safe, just to give myself a little bit more time, because I want everything to be smooth. Like, the whole release, I just want it smooth.
I'm mad at you. You guys, is there a name on it, or is that still a secret?
Huh?
Is there a name for the album, or is that still a secret?
No, it's not a secret. The name for the album is called, it's an acronym. It's called Life, Learning It From Experience.
Damn.
Never hear it first.
Damn. I like that.
So
I definitely
got to come back here and review it for us.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so down, bro. So down.
Oh, yeah. I just sent you an email. You know, you just check it out. You got my email. You can send me some stuff, and I can download it. And I can, man, everything that we played tonight was absolutely amazing. And
I appreciate that very much.
And it grabs you. You know what I'm saying? Like, Jesus. You know, like especially like on Zero's Anger there. Like with it, like when you first dropped in, I was like, oh shit. it's encapsulating, man. I love it. It's beautiful. But we've got a minute and a half here, and I'm going to say this from the bottom of our hearts, man. Thank you so much for your time today, man. I know it's hard to hold a phone up to your ear for 2 hours or whatever, but thank you. It is very meaningful to us to have you on, man, and be a part of this and everything like that. And I'm not even joking, man. Like, when you get big, don't forget about us. That's all I'm saying.
never will, bro. And thank you guys for having me on, man. This was super fun, dude. Like, not only do I get to catch up with a friend, but I get to make some new friends and just chat about life and chat about music, bro. Like, what the fuck is not fun about that?
Exactly. That's what this show's all about.
Shoot us your social media handle right quick, bro. Shoot us your social media
handle.
Yeah,
you got
seconds. Like 40 seconds.
Facebook / I go by Zero, Z-E-R-O, not the number. Instagram / The Real Zero, TheRealZero. And if you want to find me on Spotify or iTunes and all that, just type in 90 Days of Distance. There's a lot of zeros around the world. So if you type in 90 Days of Distance Zero, it will pull up my album and my artist profile, and you can find my stuff in there.
Hell yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's all the time we've got. We've got 10 seconds left. And I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, everybody, keep your hearts open and your radios up. Good night, ladies and gentlemen.
Peace.